Reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 11, Chapter 21, entitled Explanation of the Vedic Path, Text 4. Darshitoyam mayacharo dharmam udvahatam duram. Darshitoyam mayacharo dharmam udvahatam duram. Darshitoyam mayacharo dharmam udvahatam duram. Mataji. Darshita, revealed, I am this, Maya, by me, Achara, way of life, Dharmam, religious principle, Udvahata, for those who are bearing, Dhuram, the burden. Translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace, S.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Translation. I have revealed this way of life for those bearing the burden of the mundane religious principles. Purport. Ordinary religious principles prescribing innumerable rules and regulations and prohibitions are undoubtedly a great burden for those bereft of Krishna consciousness. In the first canto of Srimad Bhagavatam it is said, Bhurini Bhuri Karmani Srotavyani Bhagasha. There are countless religious scriptures in the world prescribing countless religious duties. The authorized scriptures are those spoken by the Lord Himself or His representatives as stated in this verse. In the last chapter of Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna states, Sarva dharman parityajya mamekam charanam vraja. One should give up the troublesome burden of the mundane piety and directly take to the loving service of the Lord, in which everything is simplified. Lord Krishna also states in Bhagavad Gita, Susukam kartam avyayam. The bhakti yoga process, which depends completely upon the mercy of the Lord, is very joyful and easily performed. Similarly, Lochan Das Thakur sings, Parama Karuna Pahudui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra Sabavatara Sara Shiromani Kevala Ananda Kanta. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, who is Lord Krishna Himself, appeared 500 years ago to distribute the sublime method of chanting the holy names of the Lord. In this way, rather than bearing the burden of the artificial austerity, one can directly take to the Lord's service, cleansing one's heart and immediately experiencing the transcendental bliss. Those who have taken to Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement follow four basic principles. No illicit sex, no eating of meat, fish or eggs, no intoxication and no gambling. They rise early in the morning, chant Hare Krishna and spend the day happily engaged in the Lord's service. Those who follow the ritualistic Karmakanda section of the Vedas, however, are burdened with innumerable regulations, rituals and ceremonies which must be personally performed by the worshippers or performed on their behalf by qualified brahmanas. At any moment there is a danger of discrepancy resulting in the total loss of their accumulated piety. Similarly, those on the philosophical path must painstakingly refine and adjust philosophical categories, a process that generally ends in confusion and hopelessness. The practitioners of mystic yoga undergo grueling penances, subjecting themselves to severe heat and cold, near starvation and so on. All such materialistic persons have personal desires to fulfill, whereas the devotees of the Lord who desire the Lord's pleasure simply depend upon Lord's mercy and go back home, back to Godhead. In the previous verse, the Lord mentioned that in the material world there are endless distinctions and value judgments to be made in the course of one's life. A devotee, however, sees Krishna within everything and everything within Krishna, remaining humble, simple and blissful in Lord's service. He does not perform elaborate religious ceremonies, nor does he become antisocial or immoral. The devotee simply chants the holy name of Krishna and easily achieves the highest perfection of life. Ordinary persons endeavor for bodily maintenance, but a devotee is automatically maintained by the Lord's mercy. A devotee's ordinary dealings and religious activities are also all dedicated to the personality of Godhead. Thus, there is nothing but Krishna in a devotee's life. Krishna gives all protection and maintenance, and the devotee gives everything to Krishna. This natural liberated situation is called Krishna consciousness. It is the ultimate absolute good, as explained by the Lord throughout this canto. Om Agyanatimirandasya Gyanam Janachalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Sri Guruve Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobishtam Stapitam Yena Bhudale Swayam Rupa Kadamahyam Tatadi Svapatantikam Vandeham Sri Gurum Sri Yutapadakamalam Sri Gurum Vaishnavamscha Sri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunathanitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaidam Savadudam Parjana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Sri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Sri Vishakanitamscha He Krishna Karuna Sindho Dina Bandho Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanda Radha Kanda Namostute Tapta Kanjana Ghorangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanusute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyevacha Patitanam Bhavanebhyo Vishnavebhyo Namo Namaha Nama Om Vishnupadaya Krishna Prestaya Bhutale Srimade Bhaktivedanta Swami Nidinamine Namaste Sarasvate Deve Gauravani Pracharine Nirvishesha Shunyavadi Paschatya Desatarine Jai Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhara Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Darshidoyam Mayacharo Dharmam Udvahadam Dhuram. I have revealed this way of life for those who are bearing the burden of mundane religious principles. So here, actually in the last two chapters, Krishna is addressing Uddhava's one of the questions. So actually it actually starts from the end of the chapter 19. So in the 19th chapter, Uddhava asks Krishna to explain about, you know, what are the, like, you know, basically yam niyam, rules and regulations and dualities of this material world. Like, you know, he tells around 10-20 things, like what is austerity, what is heroism and all that, and then tell me the opposites also. And towards the end, by passing remarks, like Krishna says that Kim Varnidena Bahuna Lakshanam Gunadoshayaha, you know, Gunadosha Drishir Dosha Gunastu Ubhaya Varjita. He just made, that was the concluding verse of the 19th chapter. It says Kim Varnidena Bahuna Lakshanam Gunadoshaya. I mean, you know, what is the use? Means I have explained so much about Guna and Dosha. You know, like piety, impiety and all those things means, which is right. Then actually what is dosha? Guna dosha darshita. Means seeing guna and dosha itself is dosha. And what is guna? Gunastu ubhaya varjita. You know, rejecting or going beyond both guna and dosha is actually guna. And it is really confusing for us, but even Uddhava got confused, maybe. Uddhava may not, but for our sake, in the 21st chapter, he starts with this question only. He says, Krishna, your statement in the last statement is really confusing. Because the entire Vedic scriptures is mentioned about, do's and don'ts. And actually, the Vedic scriptures is, most of the things are, what are the rules, what are the regulations, what is pious activity, what is impious activity, like dharma, adharma. So all those things you are mentioned in the Shastras. And now you are saying, just rising above these things is actually guna, is the best thing. How is it possible? Then Krishna explains there. So he says that Yogastraya Maya Prokta Nrinam Shreyo Vidhitsaya. And Jnanam Karmaja Bhaktischa Na Upayo Anyosti Kutrajit. Says there are, there are three ways by which devotees can, people or in general people can attain me. That is Jnanam Karma Bhaktischa. Means there are only three paths, there is no other path. And he says that. Then he explains who can take to this jnana. Nirvinnanam jnana yogo nyasinam iha karmasu. Nirvinnana means those who are disgusted in this material world. Those who are done with, fed up with this material enjoyment, nirvinnanam, they are eligible for the path of jnana yoga. And then for karma yoga, tesha anirvinna chittanam karma yogastu kaminam. Anirvinna, they are not as fed up. They are still trying to enjoy. They are still feeling that, okay, one day, hope against the hope means. They are trying to enjoy this material world. And Prabhupada often gives an analogy that hope against the hope, this bhaka andanaya. That in this material world, people are hoping against hope of various things. And the scientists are saying, one day we will overcome the death, we will be able to manage it. And the other people are saying, okay, now this may be the last thing, I will be able to enjoy this. So he says, that is, the bhaka and nyaya explains that the bhaka means, they are behind the bull. Seeing what? By seeing their testicles, they see that it is a fish. And when the bull moves, that, it shakes. So they are saying that it is a live fish, maybe after some time it will fall down, so that we can take it. So the bhaka keeps following the bull, but he is never going to fall down. So the illusions of this material world is something similar to that. Means we are hoping against the hope that one day people will be, one day we will be able to have a peaceful life in this material world. So that is, so those who are in, still in that mood, they are eligible for the karma yoga path. Then he says that Yadrichayamat Kadhadav Jada Sraddhastu Yep Puman Na Nirvinno Nati Sakto Bhakti Yoga Sasittitha. Who is eligible for the Bhakti Yoga? If somehow or other, by good fortune, one develop faith in the hearing and chanting my glories, such a person being neither very disgusted nor attached to material life should achieve perfection through the path of loving devotion to me. So here is a person who is not completely disgusted, being neither very disgusted but nor attached to material life. And at the same time, he is not too much attached to the material life. So for him, yadricha, like by somehow, by the mercy of the devotees, or by will of the providence, he comes across a devotee. Somehow he develops a faith in hearing and chanting of the Lord's glories. Then he is eligible for the Bhakti Yoga. Then he keeps explaining that there is these three categories of people are there. So not all of them are eligible for any of these paths. You know, not everybody can immediately come to the bhakti because of the previous conditioning. So this is something similar to the words Krishna speaks in Bhagavad Gita also. Traigunna Vishayaveda Nistraigunya Bhavarjuna Nirdando Nityasattvasto Niryoga Kshema Atmava. Krishna is there actually, you know, if you literally it is meaning that you reject the Vedas. So you may find it is very difficult to understand it. But we have to understand as Krishna, whom Krishna is speaking with. Here Krishna is speaking to Uddhava, who is actually crossed all these materialistic conceptions. They are beyond the modes of this material nature. And even Arjuna also, to partly we can say that, you know, he was behaving something like that. It was a Krishna used him as an instrument. So Krishna is telling Arjuna to raise your consciousness beyond those things. So in the Vedic literatures we can often see that there are so many, like yesterday's verse also we see that, you know, O sinless Uddhava, in order to understand what is proper in life, one must evaluate a given object within its particular category. Thus in analyzing religious principles, one must consider purity, impurity. Similarly, in one's ordinary dealings, one must distinguish between good and bad. And to ensure one's physical survival, one must recognize that which is auspicious and inauspicious. So here Krishna is telling to follow these dualities, means you distinguish, discriminate between that. So oftentimes it may be confusing. But Krishna says that it is, so whatever I am saying, it is like in a medical shop when you go. There are so many medicines, everything in the medical store is a medicine only. Does it mean that you can take any medicines? Will it cure your disease? Yes. Recently, Vrajavihari Prabhu shared a document. So, in that it gives an example that, you know, it gives a story, like for analogy you can say that. So, a person goes to an ophthalmologist. He has a finding difficulty in reading. And his eye specialist also was keeping an specs. You know, as soon as he goes there and he explains, you know, sir, I am not able to read, means, you know, whenever I am reading, everything looks very blur. So that eye specialist, that ophthalmologist laughs and tells, don't worry, means, you know, for last 10 years back I have this problem, then I started using these specs, everything become perfect. And he pushes his specs into his face. See, now you can read it. But that poor fellow says, no, it's worsened my situation. No, for last 10 years I am using it. What is the problem? It should work for you, means you should do that. But we know that it doesn't work that way. For every individual in this world is an unique person. He is coming with his own baggage. You know, for something which works for you, it may not work for others. But Krishna, being the father of everyone, Aham Bija Pradapita, means, for he has to make facility for everyone. He doesn't distinguish. He is not only giving for the, like, you know, Uttam Adhihari type of devotees, which actually that, you know, Guna Dosha is explaining. They can remain in that platform. But for us, we cannot. Second, like, you know, the Vairagya. You know, couple of, I mean, I think last week Shivarambaru was also explaining about the Vairagya of two types. He spoke about three types, Markada Vairagya, Smashana Vairagya and Yukta Vairagya. Right? So many times we also fall prey to that Yukta Vairagya concept. So, Anasaktasya Vishayan, Yatarham Ubayunchita, Nirbando Krishna Sambandhe Yuktam Vairagya Muchyate. Anasaktasya Vishayan, there is a you know, qualification to that word, means anasaktasya vishayan, means that person is not at all attached to any of the material things, but he uses everything in the service of Krishna. But whereas normally otherwise people, the dry renunciants, they feel prapanjagataya buddhya arisambandhu vastina mumukshubi parityagyo vairagyam phalgu katyate, they reject everything. So the question comes whether Vairagya is needed or not needed in bhakti. what should be our mold. So Rupa Goswami explains in Bhakti Rasamrita Sindhu that you know, there are two types actually. From what is the source of that vairagya, it matters how does we practice. So the bhakti coming from vairagya and vairagya coming from bhakti, he explains, Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur explains that which is better. He says vairagya coming from bhakti is better, and that only sustainable for a devotee, and that makes the devotee's heart very soft, whereas the other one, the other vairagya, you know, from which the bhakti comes, your heart become very hard, and where the creeper of your, like, you know, the seed of your devotion cannot sprout. Vasudeve Bhagavati Bhakti Yoga Prayojitaha Janeti Ashu Vairagyam Jnanam Tat Ahaituka means. So when you actually, so Rupa Goswami then explains, when you actually practice devotional service, you know, this Jnana and Vairagya naturally start developing. So all these things was explained in the 20th chapter. Krishna was explaining that. So it is, so there are various types of people in this material world, and for each of them to follow the, to make sure that, you know, one day they can come to the Lord, reach the platform of devotion, they can transcend this material world, all these modes of material nature. You know, Krishna has given various sections. So we cannot take one piece, you know, out of the context and say, Krishna is telling that you reject guna and dosha. Most of us, you know, may not be in that state. We may have to very clearly, like, you know, understand what is good, what is bad for us as a part of a sataka. So otherwise what happens is, you know, again Krishna only states, like, you know, the Shastra says, Shruti Smriti Puranadi Pancharatra Vidhim Vina Ekantagi Harir Bhaktir Na Utpadi. Like, you know, means if you are not following the rules and regulations of these Shastras. So that's why we need the, help of a guru. Otherwise how do you understand all these conflicting, and how do you reconcile all these statements of the Shastras? So in the 20th chapter, like Krishna says that, Tat karmani kurvita na nirvidyeta yavata matkata sravanado sraddha yavan na jayate. As long as one is not satiated by fruity activity and has not awakened his taste for devotional service by sravanam kirtanam Vishnu smaranam, like, one has to act according to the regulatory principles of the Vedic injunctions. So all these injunctions has been given, and where these, like, you know, exclusions or the exemption is been given, they are for actually a devotee of a specific standard or a person who cross certain limit. So you cannot directly apply, take it and apply in our own life. Otherwise what happens is, like, Shruti Smriti Mamai Vaknya in Vishnu Purana, Krishna says that, you know, Shruti Smriti Mamai Vaknya Yaste Ullankhana Vartate Aknya Chedi Mama Tveshi Mad Bhaktobina Vaishnava. The Shruti and Smriti literatures are to be understood as my injunctions, and one who violates such codes is to be understood as violating my will and thus opposing me. Although such person may claim to be my devotee, he is not actually a Vaishnava. So we can see that many times in the society of a Vaishnavas also some deviation happens, and people, like, you know, in that all the apasampradayas and all those things come sprout from this type of, you know, like, stepping out of their limit and crossing the limit and taking any statement of the Vedas and apply themselves into that. And so when when we can expect that, you know, we also will come to that stage of, like, you know, that vairagya and jnana which is coming out of the bhakti will comes. Vishwanatha Chakra Thakur explains, unless and until you reach the stage of a ruchi, nishta, and crossing that ruchi, that vairagya, natural vairagya, doesn't come out of our bhakti. You know, till that time, you have to follow what are the rules and regulations given in the shastras for us. Means, you know, right? So otherwise what will happen is that we will immaturely renounce things and we will end up in not only ourselves, the entire society. Okay? And when this yaddat ajati sreshta tatta deveda rojana sayat pramana gurude lohasta danu vartade, that when that verse has been explained, Ramanujacharya says why it is important that, you know, Krishna says name partha asi kartavyam trishu logeshu kinchana nana vaptam avaptavyam vatta eva hi, like even though I don't want to do it, you know, he does all the rules and regulations, you know. And before that also Krishna says that a person, he doesn't need to do any activity. Who means who is always, you know, absorbed in the Atma. What is that verse? Naivatasya krite narte nakrite neha kaschana na chasya sarva bhudesh kaschana. Means he doesn't need. And before that he says, yasya atmarati revasya. Who is that person? Yasya atmarati revasya. That person is happy and satisfied in the self itself. So these qualifications are there. But if you don't consider this, then we will land up in immature renunciations. And which create. So Ramanujacharya was saying that even though, like Janakataya, Loka Sankrameva, because even though Janaka and others were eligible for Jnana Yoga, they were still continuing with their Karma Yoga practices, he says. And then he explains why. Because even for a devotee to practice bhakti, he need to stay in a society because he has many other things. And if he doesn't follow the principles of the scriptures, if he doesn't set an example, he may not need to. But even if he doesn't set an example, what will happen is common public will follow that. And when the common people follows that, what will happen? The society collapses. And when the society collapses, even a devotee, even though he may be beyond the modes and all those things, it will become very difficult for him also to survive. We can also not survive. I know, few days back I was discussing with one devotee, so I was telling, you know, my understanding on this aspect, like, even some senior devotees, you know, this example we can, for our understanding we can take that, some senior devotees, you know, spending 30, 40 years in the, like, you know, ashram, they may not need to come for the, like, you know, their physical health may not, like, allow them to come for the morning programs. And they may not see in the temple, like Bhagavatam class and all those things. But if a new person just take that and follows up, what will happen to him? We only see the externals. We don't see what is the internal mode of the devotee. Like, we can see always whenever Radhana Swami Maharaj is here, despite his bad health, he is always there for the Mangalarati. Yes. And he makes sure that he sits there and chant. So suppose if he doesn't practice it, we say, yeah, means I also reach that stage, I don't need to follow those things. Right? So unless and until we take to the bhakti very sincerely, means we will have to follow all these rules and regulations what is followed in the scriptures. Means. And sometimes we also disrupt other people also, means. On our enthusiasm, somebody who has not reached up to this stage, we encourage them, no, you give up everything, these are all maya. You just come and join with us. Means, na buddhi bhedam janayet, agyanam karma sankinam, joshayet. So Krishna says in Gita that don't disrupt, don't interrupt a person's practices, means. But you can add joshayet. So it's not that we cannot preach, we can preach, but according to, like, you know, the level of that person, we should give him, administer him the Krishna consciousness. Otherwise it will be like the specs, you know, you put it, your respect to somebody else and say, you can read, you forcibly read. He cannot do. He will get suffocated and after some time he will give up whatever he was practicing earlier, also gone. at least that person, even if he practicing karmakanda, he is in, like, you know, then slowly one day he will be able to come to the path of devotional service, because he is in the Vedic path. So it is very difficult. Like, you know, in the beginning of the Bhagavadam itself, the sages were asking, so there are so many shastras, so many injunctions are there. How will you come to know about it? You know, which is to be practiced, which is best for the devotees. You know, they ask, bhurini bhuri karmani srotavyani vibhagash adasado trayat saram samudhritya manishayah. You know, there are many varieties of scriptures. It is very difficult to understand oneself. Prayana alpayusha sabhya kala osmin yugayajana manda sumanda madaya manda bhakyahi upadrita. Means in the Kali Yuga, the people in general are manta. They are sumanta. Like, they are unfortunate and they don't have the sufficient intelligence to understand or remember whatever the, you know, it's like, at least my experience is, if we don't in touch with the scriptures, one chapter you read and you come to the next chapter, we many times you lose the connection with the last chapter. So when you, how do you then come to the conclusions? It is very difficult. So only an acharya, you know, that's why we need to take to the shelter of a devotee. You know, so they can only set standard. They understand the essence of the shastras, and they can, according to the time, place and circumstances, they can administer it according to our level of understanding or the platform in which we are standing it. And we can see in the life of Srila Prabhupada how expertly, you know, in the morning we say that, you know, the spiritual master is Ati Vallabhasya. Tatrade Dakshyat Ati Vallabhasya. He is very expert. Not only doing in the services, but also to administering the, like, the medicine for the conditioned souls. Prabhupada could do the adjustments in such a way that the according to the time, place. Actually, in Uddhava also asked, you know, like, you know, desha, kala, vaya, and, like, you know, means time, place, age, and all those things for a, you know, according to how we practice these things. So according to this desha, kala, and everything, Prabhupada could administer it. Once Shruti Kirti Prabhu was massaging Srila Prabhupada, and some other devotees was also there. So Prabhupada was talking, and then he was telling that, you know, why this in the Gaudiya Math, you know, many of the Gaudiya Maths are empty, and only during the Gaur Purnima time you can see some people coming over there. Then he told, but in our ISKCON centers, we can see so many people. So one of the devotees asked, why is it, Prabhupada, like that? Then he told, I made some adjustments. I allowed the woman also to be come to part of the temple. He was speaking about the Brahmacharini ashrams in the West, means allowing woman to stay in the temple. According to our culture or Indian the standard, it is not allowed. But according to the time, place and circumstances, Prabhupada could do that adjustments there. So that created a confusion in Shruti Kirti Prabhu's mind. Actually, can anyone make these adjustments? So he prepared himself so many times, like, you know, before he's a spiritual master, to asking question, he redrafted that question. Then finally he take the courage and ask Prabhupada means, what is the difference between an adjustment and changing the principles? So Prabhupada became a little grave and paused for some time. And after some time he answered that, oh, that requires little intelligence. So only an acharya of that level can make adjustments. He can administer it. You know? And we have seen also, he administered the holy name to the hippies. And after 50 years, we can see that many of them are still practicing with much more enthusiasm. And they are still dedicated to Srila Prabhupada. And if you consider their previous, before coming in contact with Krishna consciousness or Srila Prabhupada, you know, it was very difficult for us to, like, even imagine how that much transformation can happen. So an expert physician can do the adjustments of the shastras and do that. But for us, we need to very cautiously do that maneuvering. Means, otherwise we ourselves will become fall prey to that type of things. So in the Gita, Krishna says that Neha Purkamana Ashwasti Pratyavayona Vidyate Salpam Apyasya Dharmasya Trayado Mahado Bayat. So Prabhupada explains in that, in one of the lectures he explains that. So anything in this material world, unless and until it is 100% completed, the results are not available. He gives the example of like farming. For a farmer, say suppose there are 10 steps. Even if he misses one step in between, he may not get the desired harvesting. Sometimes even the worst things happens. Right? Like the sacrifices, all those things can be connected to that desha, kala, you know, arka, you know, vastu and all those things. We are saying that you say karma yoga or jnana yoga, even if you make a small mistake, you have to start from the beginning again. And he gives the example of that the sacrifice of the toshta. He wanted somebody to kill Indra, but he made a mispronunciation. The effect was somebody, the person who came out was killed by Indra. So, by taking the bhakti, the path of devotional service, even if you make like, you know, even a small endeavor, that will take care of us from even the mahato bhayat. So Prabhupada explains what does it mean that bhakti, even if you changes your body, even in the next life we can continue that. That way that continuity has been given to us. So the topic we are discussing about the devotees, so in the second chapter also Krishna, while explaining that buddhi yoga part, and again there also Krishna says ubhe buddhi yukto jahadiha ubhe sukrita duskrite. There also he says that you need to come above sukrita and duskrita, means pious and impious activities. So we need to understand that all these statements are made for a person who is like now already crossed the levels of the modes of the material nature, means. But as long as we are in that level, we need to follow the path of, like one of the vehicle Krishna gives is Varnashrama path. We need to follow the rules and regulations of the Varnashrama. Otherwise we may have crash landing somewhere. So for that, the most important thing is we need an association of a proper perfect devotee. Fortunately, by mercy of Srila Prabhupada, he has made this ISKCON. I think tomorrow is the incorporation day of ISKCON. Means, you know, he made this society that all of us can get benefit of it. That leva matra sadhu sangha. He made availability of the sadhus or the devotees that even if you take a moment's association, it can take care of this, you know, from the mahado bhayat. You know, Bhakti Raksha Sridhar Swami says that mahato bhayat means what? Means even he, the mahato bhayat, he says that even the impersonal liberation is the biggest mahata, mahat bhaya. Death is not the mahat bhaya, he says. And those people are hankering for impersonal liberation where nothing, everything is finished. You are buried permanently, he says. At least if you are dead now, you may get a new body. But when you are in impersonal thing, it is permanently buried for, like, you know, long time. But once you come to the association of a devotees, you will get a chance to revive that bhakti. So in Kurukshetra, when Krishna was meeting the sages during that eclipse time, she says a beautiful verse there. Like, na agnir na suryo na chachantra taraka na bhur jalam kham shasanota vanmana upasita bheda krito harandyagham vipischito ghanandi muhurta sevaya. Neither the demigods controlling fire, the sun, the moon and the stars, nor those in charge of earth, water, ether, air, speech and mind actually remove the sins of the worshippers who continue to see in terms of dualities. But the wise sages destroy one's sins when respectfully served for even for a few moments. So he was telling the sages, you know, you all came, even if we were able to serve you for even for a moment, the so much of agha has been destroyed. Right? And we can see many examples of this in, you know, with respect to Srila Prabhupada and his disciples, and even his, what about speaking about the personal association of a devotee? So many stories we can hear by coming in touch with Srila Prabhupada book. Many devotees transformed their life. Another, I was thinking of sharing one of such example that Indradyumna Maharaj explains, that he explains his story of his own mother. That he was telling that she was a staunch atheist. She never went to church, but very intellectual personality. You know, after, you know, Indradyumna Maharaj joined ISKCON, you know, whenever he goes to visit to mother, or occasionally he used to send Prabhupada books, some of the Prabhupada books to her. So over a period of 25 years, he kept sending the books, and only thing that was happening was they were lying in the garage and, you know, accumulating dust and grease. It could never do anything, because he tried his best to convince his mother, because many of us are also, naturally we have a concern that our relatives, especially mother, father, they also should take to the Krishna consciousness. So he tried his best, even though he was giving Krishna consciousness to so many devotees during, by his festivals and other things, but he couldn't do personally to give it to his mother. But then one day when he was in, I think in Poland or somewhere, you know, late night, and it was an unusual time, he got a call from his mother. You know, so Maharaj was already tired, you know, after the, during the day's hectic schedule. Then the mother tells, you know, I want to go to Vrindavan. Can you take me to Vrindavan? This was the lines she spoke. Just called up and asking. So Maharaj was not in touch with her for some time. So he got a shock. He became stunned for a moment. He didn't even realize, what did you tell? He has to repeat it. I wanted to go to, you know, some place in India, that Vrindavan. I would like to go there. You know, then he became excited. He told, okay, mother, means now I am tired. Tomorrow morning I will call you back and we will have a proper plan. You know, then he hang up the phone. He was very excited. He went to sleep and morning he got up, you know, and then he prepared everything and then he dialed his mother, means home number. And then his brother took up the phone. And then he asked, where is the mother? And there was no reply from the other side. And it was like a pause for a minute. Then Maharaj again asked, so where is mother? Then the brother told, she passed away last night. So even Maharaj couldn't take it. You know. So then he asked, what happened? Yesterday only I spoke to him in the night. She only called me up. I spoke to him and I told, tomorrow morning we will sit and work out. She wanted. Oh no, she had cancer and she left yesterday night. So he asked his brother, what did mother told in the last, just before leaving, what was his last spoke to you? She told, don't worry, I am not this body, I am eternal spirit soul, don't worry about me. I am going back to Godhead. So Maharaj got another shock, means, how come this happens? Then the brother started saying, for last 6 months she was diagnosed, you know, 6 months before she was diagnosed with a cancer, and you know, many times I tried to inform you, but mother stopped me, don't bother him. You know, and one day when I went to clean the garage, I saw mother was sitting there and scanning through your books, whatever you sent for last 25 years, it was there. So I went to actually clear the garbage in the garage. Then mother told me, can you keep all those things in my room? Then for last 4-5 months, she had only one thing. She was reading through all these books And then somehow she got your audio ministry's address in London, and she bought so many of your lectures, and every day she will sit and read and hear your lectures. Then Maharaj was he lost his control. He was telling, what a compassionate, he was not thinking about himself. You can see the mood of a devotee. Telling, what a miracle, Prabhupada is still merciful to my mother even at this stage also. Means he was not thinking that I sent the books. By hearing my lecture, she became. So like, how could Prabhupada could do even such a miracles? That after 25 years, those books made appeal to her. And when she was about to pass away, she was asking about Vrindavan. Can I take to you Vrindavan? Like, and then he went back to for the memorial service and everything. When he was leaving, his brother and sister asked him, what should I do with these ashes of my mother? They were asking Maharaj. Told, okay, don't worry, give me. And then he took that ashes and put it in Vrindavan. So we don't know, Muhurta Sevaya. Even for a moment, if you render some devotional service to a devotee with sincerity, without having any ulterior motives, it will work wonders. But we can't expect wonders will happen in our own life. We have to put our effort. Otherwise, we don't know what type of miracle. You may expect something and some other miracle will happen in our life. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu mercifully give us the easiest path. Verse Krishna is saying, I have revealed this way of life for those who are bearing the burden of mundane religious principles. If you are not taking the path of bhakti seriously, then you have to take the burden of all these religious principles. Otherwise you are heading for a disaster in your life. But to take the path of bhakti, you have to be very serious. Mercifully, Chaitanya Prabhu has given the easiest path. Chanting the holy name of the Lord. Today is also, the purportedly says that Parama Karuna Pahudui Jana Nitai Gaura Chandra Sabhavadara Sara Shiromani Kevala Ananda Khanda. There is only bliss. This is a bhajan written by Lochana Das Thakur. Today is also the disappearance day of Loknath Goswami. One of the acharyas who was always, he was one of the associates of Lord Chaitanya Prabhu and one of the oldest of the Goswamis in the Vrindavan. So he was actually born in Jasur in the Bangladesh, present day Bangladesh. To his father was Padmanabha and mother was Sita. And at the very young age, he went out they were actually connected to the Sri Advaita Acharya. Means the father and mother and the family was connected to Advaita Acharya and devotees. So they were knowing about Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his things. But when the very young age only, Loknath Goswami got attracted to that. And he wanted to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. He left everything and went to meet Chaitanya Mahaprabhu in Navadeep. And when he met Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, Mahaprabhu told him that, see, soon I am going to take sannyas. I am coming to Vrindavan. So you better now only go to Vrindavan. So actually, Loknath Goswami couldn't bear separation from Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, but as an instruction given to him, he followed it. Okay, he and Bhugarbha Goswami together, they went to Vrindavan. After reaching Vrindavan, so within couple of days, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and then he went to Puri and settled over there. So that the news came to Vrindavan that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu took sannyas and then he gone to settle in Jagannath Puri. So Loknath Goswami thought, this is like cheating. He told he will come to Vrindavan, he is going to Puri. So he couldn't bear the separation, so he told, okay, let me go to Jagannath Puri. So he started walking, and as soon as he reaches Puri, he comes to know that Mahaprabhu already left for South India. So he couldn't meet him. Then again, and after some time, he again comes to know that, you know, he came back to Vrindavan. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is in Vrindavan. So he again start return. I think after leaving from South India, he starts from Vrindavan to Jagannath Puri. So as soon as Lokanath Goswami reaches Puri, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu came back from South India and then again departed for the Vrindavan. So he couldn't meet. So as soon as Lokanath Goswami reaches, he again starts his return journey to Vrindavan. So once he reaches Vrindavan, he comes to know that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu left 2 months back Vrindavan and went to Prayag. He actually fainted over there. So when he got up, he determined, okay, tomorrow morning I will go to Prayag. So in the night, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu appeared to him and told, don't again venture for another journey. I am always there with you. You know, my other associate, Rupa, Sanatana, everyone is coming to Vrindavan. You will have always my presence. You will never feel any separation from me. You stay in Vrindavan only. Means. And then he was staying in Kadiravan. You know, some Kishori Kund, I think, the near some place there. And he was practicing his bhakti, bhajan. And then he had a longing for having to worship the deities. So one day one Brahmana appears suddenly and gives him a deity. And then he says, you keep worshipping this. And then it suddenly disappears. That. Then suddenly Lokanath Goswami became very anxious. What to do? This. He became joyful and at the same time anxious also. Then the deities actually started speaking to him. He told that, see, I am Radha Vinod. You only decided you wanted to worship me. I was staying in this forest, you know, unattended by anyone for so many years. I want you to worship me, you know, and I am feeling hungry. You should offer me something, you know. And then Lokanath Goswami immediately comes back to his, he was flooded with that emotions of like, you know, devotional ecstasies. Then he immediately went out to the nearby villages and begs for rice, sabji and everything, make a good feast and offer to the Lord. And then he makes a flower bed so that they can take rest. He used to fan them with the leaves and the forest flowers. He make a fan out of that and he used to leave them. Like that, he was having a very intimate serving with the Radha Vinod. And he didn't made any temple per se for the Lord. His temple was, he sewed up a bag and put it over his neck and the deities were there. It's like. And Lokanath Goswami is actually famous for his disciple, Narottam Das Thakur. Every day morning when you are doing Guru Puja, Loke Nath, Loke Rajivana. Actually, Narottam Das Thakur is offering his prayers to his Guru. Means. So we can see from these acharyas that, you know, they never broke any of these principles. We can see that. Like yesterday, Prem Kishore Prabhu was also telling Chaitanya Mahaprabhu that he never spoke any of the principles of Varnashrama Dharma. Ashrama Dharma, whatever he's supposed to follow. Even though when in Ramananda Rai Samvad, he says that, Aho Bhagya means, you go ahead, this is the basic level. But from our Shastra, from the Acharya's life also, we can see that they follow all the rules and regulations. So we also need to practice whatever has been told to us, we need to practice that. Then, if we are sincerely attempting that, we can also get the mercy of the Vaishnavas. Hare Krishna. Any comments or any questions on this? Achyutanand.
Hare Krishna. You quoted one verse from Padma Puran, where taking the theme of the class, and the Lord said that one who does not follow all the principles of Shruti and Smriti, though he claims to be a devotee, is not a Vaishnava. And you elaborated on different aspects of following the different principles. But also quoted Prabhupada how he made adjustments to the current age. So there are, even for a Vaishnav or a devotee, there are so many principles actually in the Shruti and Smriti in detail. And we are not most of it aware of it and not also not following. We are just actually following the primary principles of pure devotion. So is it that with the course of development of our devotional service, we need to also stick to more and more of such principles of Varnashrama and detailed injunctions of the scriptures, which are in so great detail? Or we can just only stick, because most of us actually were not even aware of small things. So not following those small things, like even for chanting Gayatri, like in the morning, which direction you should look to chant Gayatri. In the noon, which direction you should look to chant Gayatri. In the evening, there's a different direction for chanting Gayatri. So like that, every step has so many rules, which actually make one's devotional service actually formal and steady. But we are not following. Is it that with course of time we should follow and then actually we can claim that we are Vaishnava? Or we can neglect them also?
So as I mentioned in the class, that's why we need a guru, you know, the teacher who is living with us. You know, Bhagavatam says, Bhuri Bhurini Karmani, means there are so many rules and regulations. Shastra is so vast that in our one life, we cannot grasp the essence of all those things. You know, those who are seeing the essence, they can do the adjustments. You know, like, you know, you are a doctor, means you know so many medicines. And a person comes with, you know, after googling it, no, for my problem is malaria, no, I can do this. He may give various suggestions to you, but a doctor knows expertly that, no, even though its symptoms are like this, no, this also, they can give the specific prescriptions for that person. So it may vary from one person to another. You know, so whatever rules and regulations we can follow within, you know, our given, like, you know, the ashram, we should try to follow as much as possible without having any disturbance with others. That is also important. So that's why personal guidance of a spiritual master is important. So in our ISKCON context, spiritual master may not be available all the time to give you that personal guidance, but he has given his representatives. So taking instructions from them, we can do that. Practice it. So once you come to know about some rules, so if it is possible to follow without having any other implications on our other activities, like, you know, you cannot come and say, like, you know, because of this, you know, I cannot do these services and all those things, then you have to see which instruction has to be taken precedence. So that's what the whole Shastra says, that there are so many rules and regulations, but there is a priority also. Even in the basic Gita started with that only. You know, Arjuna was telling about, he was also speaking from the Dharma Shastras. So Krishna says that, you know, like different grades of Shastras are there, which can supersede the other one, the list is there. Right now we are unaware of all those nitty-gritties. So by taking shelter of a bona fide spiritual master, we can come out of those things. And he will suggest you what all the things you need to do. Hope it gives some answers to your question. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam ki, Srila Prabhupada ki.